Great, so we're holding in the Moai in the third parak. And, okay. So the first mission here deals with the leniencies. There are certain leniencies with the Moai. Remember, since most instances of the Moai, the truth is that the food is actually really musukim. We just don't know. We're acting out of doubt. So there's room to be lenient. In general, the Torah principle is you go after the rov, you go after the majority. Here, the rabbi didn't want that. But they allowed for certain leniencies because, really, from the Torah perspective, you can go after Rov. Okay, fine. So it says Ma'achilin. So we're going to deal with people who are, for whatever reason, going to be lenient. They're basically poor people. Ma'achilin esaniyim. You're allowed to feed. Ma'achil is the hifil, right? You're feeding it to them, causing them to eat. Ma'achilin esaniyim. Demai, you can feed the anim demai. Ves achsanya demai, and also nachsanya demai. So, first of all, the pasha says you have to tell them what you're doing. Okay, you have to tell them what you're doing. You have to tell them this is, I'm giving you demai. So if they want to be misachne, they could be misachne.
This is
the chachila, now, why is it the chachila? Why do we do it? So two basic reasons given. Number one is that we're the chazal off the poor people. So A, we didn't really want to make it. We figured if people have to give, had to do the hafrashas, they'll be that much less likely to give tzedakah. This can't be bothered. They won't be bothered. So if they won't be bothered, so that the losers are the aniyim. And second of all, we don't want the aniyim to lose any more than they are. They're poor enough as it is. We don't want to deduct another 10% from them or whatever it is, right? So,
aren't they being
Vatala Doraita? No, they're not being Vatala Doraita because it's a rove. We're going after rove. The rove is that rove did do it. But we have to. Yeah, okay. Questions. That's a short question. We've got to be mitgaber on the questions, really. Since we're going after rove, it's not Vatala Doraita, we assume that it's the Doraita principle is. That you go after Rov. The Torah empowers a person to rely on a Rov. The halakha is a Rov, complicated, but bottom line is you could. Okay, so that's the we don't want the name to lose out. Now the Gra learns, interestingly, I think he's all by himself here, but the Gra learns that Neem have to fix it. They have to do it. We didn't want to put any extra burdens on the giver, lest they not give, but the Neem for sure still have to do it. I think he's on his own. I think most people say I know most people on the page for sure are saying that they're allowed to eat it straight as is. Okay, fine. Okay, and achsania, what's that? So the here the Bar-Nura gives shot that the achsania is you have when the king has his soldiers, the army of the soldiers moving to the town, so they force you to quarter them. You know, they force you to put them up and feed them. That was normal, like it or not, in many places. And in the Jewish world also, Jewish soldiers, the deal was they're passing through, you got to feed them. So if they're just passing through, so we made it easier on there. That's a burden, obviously, on the local population. We made it, they're considered aniyim. Then they have nothing to eat anyways. So we're lenient to them, and we let the balabatim feed the achsanya, these soldiers passing through, feed them demai because they have a status of aniyim, and to take off the burden off the giver. But if they'd be staying overnight, they're not considered. And this really goes for aniyim also. Once they're staying over, they're like temporary residents. You can't feed them. Feed them to mine anyway to fix it up. So just like pauper a hand out. He puts his hand out, you can give him something to eat. Don't have to worry about the hot brushes. And same with achsanya. They're passing through, feed them. But if they're staying in your place, they're part of your household, and so you have to just give them proper clean food.
Is the goyim or Jews?
Jews. Sure, Jews. Rabbi Gamliel haya ma'achil es polav demai. Rabbi Gamliel, he used to feed his polav, his workers demai. He held they're poor. Since they're poor, you're allowed to do it. This is the way back then was that part of the deal of employment was, or one of the possible arrangements of employment was, to feed as part of the compensation. And again, we have to keep on reminding ourselves, certainly in the Matnos Lanim, sugyas like this, gifts to the poor, that when we're talking poor people, they lived, the average person lived really, really subsistence level. Basically, they ate what they grew, essentially, or, you know, exchanged. They didn't have bank accounts. The truth is, by the way, even until the 19th century, more or less, nobody had money. There might have been like, people might have had like a few coins to transact, but it wasn't a money-based economy for all of human history until the 19th century. So, the deal was, I'll work for you, but you got to feed me. I mean, that's the basic trade, right? And then you get a little extra, you bring home for your wife and kids, whatever it is. That was it. Right. So, and that's the issue, exactly right. So he held their aneum, so he said, you're allowed to, since they're poor, you're allowed to feed them. But the rabbis didn't like it. They said, it's a business expense, and you have no right, if you're, you can't be porei your chov, you can't, you know, pay your business expenses with demai. That's not right. Yeah, but they said they didn't like it. They don't like it. Right. Business expenses, you're not allowed to cheat either. You get a tax deduction, right? But so this is looking at cheating. This is cheating. So they didn't like it. And the law is not like Rabban Gamliel. Okay. Now a new point, and we're gonna see now. Beis Shammai holds, and he holds throughout Shas, that you're not allowed to give demai to aniyim. This leniency doesn't exist. So Beis Shammai Omrim, Nosnesa Ma'usar L'She'ena Ma'usar, when you collect tzedakah, you basically keep two piles, you know? People who you take, if you take from an Amaret, you put in the Amaret pile. Take from a Talmud Chacham, you put in the Talmud Chacham pile. When you give to the Aniyim, I'm speaking the words outside first, you give the Amaret, something that was given by an Amaret to a Talmud Chacham, he'll fix it, and you give something that was given from a Talmud Chacham to an Amaret, because it doesn't need to fix it. That way everyone eats Masukan. That was Beis Shammai's solution to the problem. Beis Shammai Omrim, Nosin Esa Ma'usar, you give that which was tithed, L'She'enu Ma'aser, to people who don't do the tithing, V'esh'enu Ma'usar, and that which wasn't tithed, L'Ma'aser, to those who will do the tithing. Nimtsu, so that it will come out, Kol Ha'adam Ochlin Masukan, everyone will eat, you know, fixed food. Mitukan means fixed, Masukan is like, it means tithed and taken. V'chachamim Omrim, they say, no way, govin stam, machalkin stam, you take from everybody and put in a big pile and give it out to everyone equally. Farot l'sakin yisakin, whoever wants to do it, to do the frushes can do the frushes. The reason why is they figured people are going to get insulted. Your typical Amaret sees you put his food into, like, you know, the B-grade pile, he's going to get insulted. And so they don't know, won't give any more. And that'll be a net loss to Aniyim. So the Chum say, we're not going to run that risk. We'll not run the risk of offending the givers, they're supporting society, so everyone will get, and we'll, you know, divvy it up in a non-discretionary way.
I understand the demai is shita.
He holds it that you're allowed to give demai to the poor. I'm sorry, he says you're not allowed to give demai to the poor, since they have to eat masukan, so you can't give it out. You have to, behind the scenes, arrange that everyone gets what they're supposed to get. But the Chum reject that. Now, interestingly, the Rambam learns that the Niyam, when it says Harot L'Sakin Yitakin, whoever wants to fix it can fix it, it sure sounds like, you know, do if you want and don't, it's cool. And that's what everyone seems to say. But the Rambam learns, just mentioning him, that the Rambam learns that the Niyam have to do it. When it says Harotze, it means, like, anyone who wants to fulfill the words of the rabbis and do what they're supposed to be doing. Like, if you want to be a good guy, then you'll keep the halacha, then you'll have to be Mitakin. It's a tough read, the Rambam, but I'm just bringing him down because he's the Rambam, you know, no one wants to disregard the Rambam. But anyway.
The Rambam say that the Aniyim have to?
Yeah, he says, Harot L'Sakin Yitakin, whoever wants to do the corrections, to tithe it, can. He doesn't learn that as, like, optional. He says it's mandatory. Okay? It is a tough read. Right.
Rambam. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. And you said earlier that Ra says can't give the mic to the poor, right?
That's right. Okay. Okay. One second. So now's a good time for my editorial. Okay. You have to know my tevet. I'm not a midas adin person. I'm a midas chesed person, and I like to think that I was misak my midos to the point that I can, like, be assertive if I need to. My parents train me that I not to interrupt people when they talk. It's very difficult for me to interrupt people, and it's certainly not to interrupt people who are older than me, that fits the description of most people in the room. So it's very difficult for me to interrupt you, really. It's, like, very difficult for me to interrupt you. We have to understand that. So I keep on saying 100 times, don't ask the question. But once you start, I feel very uncomfortable interrupting you, so I keep on letting it go. But I think it's a net loss for everyone. I think it's a net loss for the shiur that everyone pipes in every 2 seconds, and I'm making myself available for the shiur. I come early. I'm happy to come early if people come for it, and I will take phone calls and emails and everything. But during the 45 minutes, we gotta be mitzamtem. Really, I just want what's not. Otherwise, it's not possible.
Just ignore our questions.
All right, fine. Let's okay, that's fine. Okay, fine. So, okay, yes. Okay, so I promise you, I'm committed to you understanding the Mishnah. I want you to understand, and I'm putting in as much effort as you need to understand it. But the 45 minutes have to be the sheer time so we can get through the material. That's what it has to be. Okay, so, yeah. Okay, Mishnah base. Now, we're going to talk about, we said in the last parak, you can't sell produce without first fixing it up, unless you had the other dispensations of yesterday. But there are other indirect ways which the food that was in your hand ends up in someone else's mouth. So we're going to talk about those kind of unusual cases where you indirectly, things that pass through you end up in other people's plates. So it says like this, Mishnah Beis, Harota lachazom ale yarek lahakel mema'aso. If one wants, Haroteh, if one wants, lachazom, it's chazem is like to prune. Basically you have, you're carrying a lot, you're schlepping a lot of stuff, and you basically you're carrying your corn, and it's too heavy for you, so you want to pull off all the extra stuff and just have as little weight as possible. So, ala yerek, the leaves of the yerek, the stuff you don't want, lachakel maso, to ease up your burden, so, and you're just going to throw it on the floor, as I guess they did back then, which we shouldn't do today. Lo yashlech ad shiaser. He may not throw it to the floor and then discard it. Ad shiaser, until he takes the afrashas. So he has to first even suck in his food before he disregards even part of the leaves. Because what will happen is someone else will find them and they'll take them and eat them, and they'll be eating enam sukkin, and it'll be his fault. The issue governing really most of the rest of the parak is going to be this issue of Lifnei Iver, right? The pasuk says Lifnei Iver, Losita Mishka, like Michshol. Before a blind person, you can't put a stumbling block. So that means you can't one bipshat them there. One of the is that you can't make people who aren't looking out for where they're going stumble. I guess that's pretty obvious, right? So this people who are amaratim are going to eat what they find on the floor, and if you're basically putting down poison for them, that's naughty. So you got to clean it. You got to be misakin it first. Okay, now gets even heavier. Halokech yarek minashuk. Okay, let me, 1 second, background for a second. When it comes to all things, we talked about kinyanim a few times, acquisitions. So when it comes to movable objects, which in Hebrew are called metaltalin, tiltul is to move. In English they're called chattel, fancy word. But when it comes to metaltalin, these kind of objects, to acquire it, meaning to transfer, like, one of my unwritten theses is that anyone who believes that you own something is really a spiritual person. Because, like, what makes it yours? It's in your pocket, but what makes it yours? And if someone takes from you, they stole from you. What is it? Like, what ties the object to your pocket? Okay, so we're halakhically minded, so we say someone does tie it to your pocket, it's yours. But to make it yours, to effect that magic that it becomes in your property, the way you do it for a movable object is hagba'ah, which means lifting it up. Okay? Or if it's unliftable, right, or not conveniently lifted, then you can do mashicha, you can pull it. Okay? But as opposed to money. Money can't buy you love and can't really call you an acquisition. Nothing. So if you wanna buy my fruit, giving me the money hasn't made it yours yet. I guess if something goes bad right then, it's not your fault, because it's not yours yet. You take ownership. But if you take ownership of it before you've given money, it is yours and you're responsible for it, even though you haven't paid for it yet. You okay? That's what's so. The case here is gonna be someone who's picking up things and having in mind, there's two issues. You have to pick it up, and you have to have in mind to acquire it. And I guess the previous owner has to have in mind that he wants you to buy it. But if that's the case, by just lifting it and taking it for yourself, that now it's become yours, even though you haven't yet paid for it. So that's the case here. Halokeach yark min ashuk. A person takes vegetables from the shuk, the marketplace, and after he's lifted it and he thought he's going to buy it, and we're talking a case where the price is already known. Like, for example, let's say it's, you know, everyone knows that each bucket of strawberries is a shekel, and he picked a bunch of them up. Then he thinks, oh, I've taken, this is probably too many, put some back. But when he picked them up, he had in mind to acquire them. He knew the price, so he knew what he's getting himself into. So he's now acquired those. So putting them back is like selling them back, you know, off an off the balance sheet transaction, selling the strawberries back now to the owner, and now he's selling something which is enu mesukan, which is naughty. He can't do that. So lokeach yarek min hashuk v'nimlach lahachzir, and he changes his mind and wants to put it back. Lo yachzir, he can't put it back. Ad sheyaser, he'll have to first take hafrashes from it, because he's taken it, it's his, and then when he leaves his hand, he has to put it back fixed. She'enu mechuser eliminion, because all he was lacking in the transaction was just counting the number of, you know, boxes of strawberries. But it was an agreement that he was going to pay $1 for one shekel per box, and he's going to buy it. And he wanted to take them, and the owner wanted to sell them. So the transaction is done. All he needed is to lay out the cash. So it became his, and we can't put it back without being misaken it. However, hayav omed velokeach, if the guy he's taking and he's standing and he's, even if he's doing the transaction, but he hasn't yet, either hasn't agreed to the price or he hasn't lifted it up, right? V'ra'a to'an acher, and he sees another bundle somewhere else, yafimenu, that's better than the one he was looking at before, and he changes his mind, mutter l'achzir, he can reject the first package, mipnei shlo mashach, because he didn't yet take possession of it. Now, it's a bit of a, is the concept clear? There's a bit of a linguistic problem here, because it says shlo mashach. Mashach means to pull it, and the normal kinyan for food is a hagbah. So, if I would have answered it, although I don't, this isn't the answer because no one said it as far as I saw, but what I would have answered it, I'm telling you this so it explains the concept of Mashiach. It says ta'an, which is a funny word. He says that he saw a big ta'an is like a big weighty amount, right? A shoulder load full, a huge amount. So if it's a ta'an, so maybe you can't lift it, only it could be Moshech. That's what I would have said, but that's not what they say. They just say, Tosafot Yom Tov says, it's lav dafka, and oftentimes the Mishnah uses the word mashach to refer to any acquisition of chattel. But of course it would mean technically you'd have to lift it up.
Yeah. This is all like when, like in the first case where he wants to do mashach. This is the assumption that the balabait is, or the arkan is a ma'aret?
Yeah, for sure. If the yarkan, the seller of the vegetables, is a ne'eman, so it's mesukan already.
He has a two
or something. Yeah. Then when the fear is that it's we're talking about demai. This, he's taking something that has the status of demai, can't let it out of his hands. Still in the status of demai, he has to be mesukan at first. There you go. That's yeah. Good. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Mishnah Gimel. So really, this is a continuation of the previous the theme. Hamotzi peretz b'derech. If a person finds fruit on the way, v'natlan la'achlan, and he took them to eat them, meaning he picked them up, they were hefker, he picked up thinking now he's going to eat them, so he's now made an acquisition. By picking them up, it's his. Right? As in Bava Kama, you see, people do this all the time, then they change their mind and put it back down on the floor. Now it's your, you've now left a boar, which is a ram. It's important to know. Sometimes, you know, you pick up something to play with in the street, and you leave what you found, and leave it somewhere else. You've left that thing now. It's your mess you have to clean up. You pick it up. But we're not talking about Bava Kama here, we're talking about here in Demai. By the same thing, you pick it up to eat it, now it's yours. Vadim lach latznia, you say, forget it, you know, I'll leave it for the next guy, I put it up. Latznia means to hide away, but it means you want to put it like, you know, so people won't trample it. You put it on the side of the road, as a person should. So instead of, yeah, he puts it on the side of the road so someone else can find it, after all. Lo yatznia adji aser. He can't do that even until he is ma'aseret also. Literally, latznia means to hide. To hide away.
So the person put it, he wanted to eat it, then he decided he didn't want to eat it, he just wanted to eat it. Right?
That's right. So since he had it first in mind to pick it up. However, the other possibility is right now, the mitchila natlan bishvil shlo yovdu, if he took it originally, mitchila natlan, he took it bishvil for the sake of shlo yovdu, just so it shouldn't get ruined, because you have to pick up food off the floor, you see it. So by picking up an apple off the floor and putting it on the side of the wall there, that's not considered a kinyan. You didn't have it in mind. You did do a hagbah, you lifted it up, but you didn't have it in mind to acquire it. So that's not yours. So that's not a problem. Pater, you have no problem. It's only when you thought you're going to take it. So you took it, now you're putting it back. Okay. Now, kol davar she'ein adam rishai l'machro damai. Anything that a person has no permission to sell as damai, if you remember from yesterday, that means like small things that move in small quantities. Big quantities, we're lenient on the seller because the profit margins and because no children. But here, if you're not allowed to sell it, this transaction, if you'd be selling it, would be forbidden to transfer it as demai. Lo yishtach l'chavero demai. You also can't give it to your friend in demai. You have to misaken it, even as a gift. And Rabbi Yossi is matir bevada. He says demai okay, because demai, you know, we're afraid people will be lenient. But when it comes to vadai tevel, you should be allowed to bevad shiodienu. Just tell the guy who you're giving as a gift, I'm giving this gift, but it's tevel. You have to fix it. You have to do the hafrashas yourself. So Rabbi Yossi lets that. The Chum still reject that because they say, you know, sometimes you're going to forget to tell. Inevitably, some people will forget to mention it, and the recipients will assume, well, he wouldn't give me something that doesn't. It's just like, why when you get a gift from your friend, you don't assume it's not kosher. You assume the food's kosher, so people come to eat it. So the Rabbanan rejected Rabbi Yossi's shita. Yeah. Okay. Good. Now Mishnah Dalet into the end of the parak, the next three Mishnayos are going to deal with cases where you just deposited your food with somebody and they're taking it back, and the concern is maybe the food that you're taking isn't the same food you gave in for different cases, but those are the issues here. And there's going to be a fear sometimes of demai and sometimes of tevel being replaced, depends. So Mishnah Dalet says hamolech chitim letochen, a person who brings his wheat to the grinder, and the grinder is a kusi. Remember kusim? These are people that came to replace the saras, the 10 lost tribes, and they were originally not Jewish, but then the lions started eating them, so they got nervous and they converted. But the rabbis are always dubious about whether or not the conversion is good. So throughout all the Mishnayos, the assumption is they're probably okay, but we're a little mistrusting of them. And certainly, there are gemaras that say that when it comes to hafrashas, they're actually good or better than regular Jews. So we have this, they enter in this issue of doubt. Now, when it comes to kusim, even though they're better than Jews, the Gemara says they're better than a typical Amar in terms of taking hafrashas. They're particularly strict about it, but they didn't have a concern at all for, they didn't hold this pasuk lifnei iver. They just didn't darshan the pasuk. They said lifnei iver meant literally blind people, so they didn't have any problem with passing on and selling on demai or anu masukin. That wasn't their problem. So here we're afraid of them, and like we spoke about many times already, later on, subsequent to the Mishnah's writing or to this writing here, it was found out that they were indeed idolatrous. They had this idol in Har Grizim. So they're just now post that every kusi is like a regular Avodah Zaranik, but in the Mishnah here they're not. So a molachitim latochen kusi, if you bring your wheat to be ground by a kusi, o latochen amaretz, or just a grinder who's just a regular amaretz, bechezkasa namaasres lishvias. They remain in their chazaka. Chazaka means, let's call it like it's halachic status quo. Truly, it's a complicated topic, but you can, chazaka, you can translate as status quo. And the halacha is that you're allowed to assume something kept its status quo, assuming dot, dot, dot. And there's the kol downstairs that I'm learning in the mornings. We're learning Cheskas Abatim, that's a topic of discussion, complicated, but anyways. So, Bechez Kasan, they remain in their status, they were kosher when you gave them, you had tied them first, the wheat, so they remain that assumption. When you take it back, you don't have to re-tithe it and re-wire it, maybe it's Shvias produce. However, Latochen Nochri, if you give it to a grinder who's not Jewish, now you have to fear it's Demai. The reason why is, like this, when it comes to switching people's produce one for the other, that's really being a thief. That's really thievery, taking my produce and giving someone else and vice versa. So we don't assume that the kusim or the regular amarets are thieves. They're not thieves, right? So we're not afraid of them doing something nasty, but we are afraid of the Gentiles being thieves, and therefore it has status of demai, meaning we don't know what's happened now. Maybe the food I gave in, he gave to somebody else and he gave me his food, so now who knows what's going on. So you'll have to retake all the hafrashas, at least the Trumas Meister and the Meister Sheni, from Suffolk, like regular Demai. Now, a new case. A Mafkin Perosov Eitzel HaKusi, if you just deposit your fruit for safekeeping, not a professional. See, a professional grinder has lots of wheat coming in and out the door, so it's likely to assume that lots of Jews have deposited their wheat and some are Maratzim and so. But just a regular old Kusi, you just drop it at the door, or Eitzel HaMaretz, or a regular, just a regular Amaretz Jew, bechazkas the masters of the shvius. Nothing to assume that anything funny happened. Eitzel nochri, if it's dropped by a nochri, however, kaperosav, we now assume it's his peros. We're assuming he didn't switch with somebody else, because nobody else. We are afraid that he basically took yours and gave you his. No, that's the fear. Now, kaperosav is a tricky tricky halacha, because why? Because an Am Haaretz is makes demai, right? But a non-Jew doesn't need to have hafrashas taken at all. Alright, so if it really is his peros that he grew, the pasha says that it would be totally exempt from hafrashas. Okay, so it's like the other way around. Yeah, so it's a funny leniency, although the Rambam brings that you have, notwithstanding that, it's not a trick you can play, you still have to be misakni food before you give it in.
Yeah, I didn't understand the
Nachri. If you give it to a Nachri, a non-Jew, when you take it back from him, the stuff you deposited on, you have to assume he took your apples and gave you new apples, and his apples that he gave you are his apples. So since they're his apples, they have the status of non-Jewish apples, which means they don't need any hafrashas taken at all. But I'm telling you that the rabbis try to already saw this as a nasty loophole, so they cut it off of the pass, and they say that a person has to, you still have to do the hafrashas before you give them in. Because not to mention it's possible that it's the original stuff you're getting back. Not to mention, you can't assume that it's clean and not take the second round of hafrashas. So.
Tithe before you give it in.
Tithe it twice. Tithe on the way in, and then it's clean. And then on the way out, you don't have to assume. Because if it was yours, it's still yours. And if it wasn't yours, then it's his. Either way, it doesn't need nothing to hafrashas taken. Yeah? Yeah, fine. Now, Reb Shimon Omer Demai. Reb Shimon says, who says it's his? Just the same way you deposited by him for safekeeping, maybe someone else did also. So maybe it's all mixed up. So he says it's Demai, but the halacha doesn't follow him. That's I guess, the rabbis, that was too far. Too far-fetched. Okay? Great. Mishnah Hey. So now, this case is a specific case of a chaver. Someone who's strict about, you know, Talmud Chacham, someone who's strict about the Meisters, and he's staying at an inn. And the way the inns used to work in those days was, you'd bring your own food and you'd give it to the innkeeper to take your raw food and make it into dinner for you. So he got now this Talmud Chacham who's staying at this Am Haaretz's inn, and he wants his food cooked and he wants his food kosher. At Hanosin the Pundakis, he gives it to the Pundakis. A Pundak is like a, I think even in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew too, is a Pundak is like a, no? A Pundakis, anyway, the innkeeper woman. So when he gives it to her, the food, and he expects to, you know, take the potatoes and turn them into French fries, so Maser Eshu Nosin La, he has to Maister what he gives her, and again, the Eshu Notel Mimena, he has to again Maister the way back in, because he has to, right, he has to be afraid that what he gives in will end up getting lost. And she'll eat it, someone else will eat it, and he will get back someone else's, so he has to do it again. Right? Mipnei shechashuda l'chalef. Because we are afraid that she's going to start switching things around. Now, we normally said that Amart isn't, we're not suspecting them of being switcheroo kind of people, but here the Pundakis, you know, wants to give five-star service, so you'll come back again. So if something goes wrong, she'll just give you the good stuff anyway, so you'll be happy, you know? When you want to sell a house, you're supposed to, you know, bake cookies in the oven when you're showing around the house. That's how it works. So you want to have good food, really. So you want to have good food, so you'll come back again. So she's now, for your interest, thinking she's doing you a favor, switches out your bad food and puts in her food, and who knows, she brought you back to mine. Now, I told you have to do it twice. You have to be misakin what goes in and what goes out. But it seems that, why can't you just be misakin on the way out? So we're afraid she's going to eat it, or someone else in the inn will eat your stuff, so we're afraid of that also. So Rabbi Yossi objects. He says, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Ein anu achrai in the Ramayin. He says, it's not our responsibility. We're not achrai for tricksters. If she is going to start, I'm doing everything by the book. I'm giving my food in, I'm taking my food out. Why should I have to tithe it twice? If someone in the middle is going to be a thief, so that's not on my head. So einu ma'aser ele mashu notu mena bilvad. All you should have to do is just take the hafrashas when you take it from her. It's not your problem. But the rabbis disagree. And the rabbis say, indeed, that you have to be afraid, you have to be afraid. Now, just speaking out a little more, the it's brought down, the Rav here seems to imply, and the Rambam seems also, that actually the rabbis agree with Rav Yossi. They agree with the principle that you're not achrayah for Ramayin. So we're not to be worried about Ramayin, that's true. However, she's not really a Ramai, she's acting in your interest. So, in other words, we don't have to go out of our way to prevent criminals from eating not kosher food. That's not our problem. But this isn't a criminal. This woman is likely to act this way because she's acting in your interest, and therefore you have to be afraid. a reasonable assumption and doesn't fall in the category of Ramayim. So then the rabbis say you have to do it twice, on the way in and on the way out. Okay? Great. Wow, we're early. It's good. I did just prepare fast for the next mission, so. Yeah, we'll take questions. That's a great idea. Yeah. Let's first get to Vav, and then we'll take all the questions you want. Okay. Here we go. So, Mishnah Vav, really it's continuing on here, the same theme, right? Hanosim l'chamaso, chamoso, you give it to your mother-in-law. You can insert your favorite joke here, you know? When I got married, at my wedding, the rabbi said to me, he said, you know the difference between in-laws and outlaws? Yeah. Outlaws are wanted. All right, so there you go. So, what? No, I think the video guy missed it, unfortunately. But anyways, so you give it to your mother-in-law. So your master asks your nosa-in-law, you're staying at her house, and she's the cook in the house. You give her your food, kind of like the pundakis, but you have to be master what you give to her. Ve'eshu notal mena, and again, mice run the way back out from her. So mivnei shehi chashuda lachalef esa miskalkel. She's afraid. She's suspect of switching the bad food. What's going to happen is she's cooking you scrambled eggs. That's a bad example. Cooking you your bread, and she botched it up. She burnt the bread. So she's just going to not want to do. She's not going to give her son-in-law bad food. So she's going to switch out, and her daughter and you are going to get good food. But that means she's giving you her the amarts, her problematic food. So you're afraid of that. Now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, and really, the Yerushalmi explains that Rabbi Yehuda is actually the author of this Mishnah. So he says, Rotzihi b'takanas bita obusha me chasna. The reason why she's doing it is because she really wants the best for her daughter and son-in-law. So that's why she's doing it. So again, we're not calling her a Ramai or anything like that. She's simply acting in her family's best interest. And now there's an unspoken Tanakama. Okay, now the unspoken Tanakama is that no. The Yerushalmi brings it, and you'll see in a second, the Mishnah backhandedly refers to it. The Tanakhama rejects Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, and the Tanakhama says no, or I should call him the Chacham, not Tanakhama. The Chacham say no, we're not suspecting mother-in-laws of switching things at all. Like, the whole thing's too far-fetched. She's going to mess up the food and switch it around for someone else? No. You don't have to be worried that what you're getting back from her isn't the food you gave her. That's not reasonable. Right? That's what they hold. And Mod Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, he agrees to them, that unspoken opinion. But nosen lechamas of shvias. When it comes to shvias food, there even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that we don't have to be afraid that she's going to switch around and take your in the shvias year, she's going to give you shvias food, the shmita food. Because the Amoratim were afraid, particularly of shvias. Shvias also carries a severe penalty. You probably even noticed it in Israel. People like are very... It comes every once every 7 years, and like you're spooked out by it. So even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that when it comes to the shvias, shmita food, she'ena chashuda la'achlif, she's not going to switch around, la'achlas bita shvias, she would never go feeding her daughter shvias. So because of that, Rabbi Yehuda agrees in the shvias case. Now, as far as the halacha, it's quite interesting, because the Bar Tanur here and also the Shulchan Aruch paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that we're normally afraid. Which is a little strange, and the Rambam in Deep Paskin is like the Chachamim, the unspoken Chachamim in the Yerushalmi. But I guess that I was in my eye like in the Beis Yosef to see farther than that. But I'm suspecting the reason why is the Mishnah didn't bring down this Tanakama. That sounds a strong opinion that they're left out. I keep calling it Tanakama, but really just the Chacham, the Stam Chacham. But so the Rambam Paskin is like the Chachamim in the Yerushalmi, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't. The Shulchan Aruch says like Rabbi Yehuda, that we're afraid that she's going to be switching the food around, except for Shvias. Okay.